Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to Jesus, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and still you do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can he say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. Ask whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. The last couple of days, as we've moved into this second half and ultimate phase of the Easter season, the whole theme, if you want to see what's going to connect everything that Jesus was saying during the Last Supper, which we'll be pondering in the Gospel and seeing illustrated in the Acts of the Apostles, is this communion that we are to have with Jesus in every aspect of our life. 2 days ago, he spoke to us about the one who receives us in communion with him, in communion with the Father. So in receiving us, they receive God because of that reality that happens in our life with Jesus. Yesterday, Jesus revealed to us that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. But then, as we follow him who is the way, as we believe in the truth that sets us free, that he enunciates, as we draw our very life from him who draws his very life from the Father, we become, together with him for the world, the way that they should follow, the enfleshment of the truth that will liberate them, and a means by which they can, in a sense, plug into that life of God, flowing not just through our veins, but our soul. Today we come to a reading that I presume is very familiar to everyone, because we always have it on May 3rd, the anniversary of the death of Cardinal O'Connor. But in it, Jesus is describing even more deeply this connection between him and the Father and his connection with us. Philip, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And Jesus powerfully communicates that whoever has seen him has seen the Father, because he and the Father are one. He doesn't speak his own words, he speaks the Father's words. We're able to perceive the Father through our eyes and through our ears, he say, through all the rest of the contact we have with Jesus himself. And so Jesus stresses that communion. Then he turns to the communion we're going to have with him. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. And will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father, and whatever you ask the Father in my name will do. This is not because he's just going to give us power apart from him. It's not just because we're going to be able to finish our prayer in the name of Jesus and then it would happen. It's because Jesus is going to be dwelling in us. He's going to be continuing to do his works. But the works are going to be greater in many senses. They're going to be greater extensively, because his mystical body is going to be spread throughout the entire world. They're going to be greater quantitatively, because we're going to be continuously asking him for miracles, far more than the people who would bring all the sick to him, or all those possessed by demons, or anybody else with any type of need. There are so many people in need, and every day we are bringing them before the Lord. But then our miracles are going to be even greater in terms of what is accomplished. Every day here, we participate in the greatest miracle of all. God himself comes down from heaven to earth, comes into this altar, and enters into us. Every day in the confessionals all throughout the world, especially for those who are in serious sin, St. John Vianney said, there's a greater miracle than raising somebody from the dead. Every time there's absolution and the soul is sent back to its baptismal beauty. Baptisms occurring every week. Anointings in preparation of people to go to heaven. So many people just coming to the grace of conversion all over the world, which is a participation with that extraordinary moral miracle, because everything's a grace. All of that is occurring. Tremendous reality. And listen, sisters, I would encourage you to use it. You're Jesus' spouse. Speak to the Father with him. How can he refuse? Jesus couldn't refuse his own mother. St. John Vianney, when he would pray the Mass, whenever anybody had given him really serious intentions, he said, talk to me after Mass. And at the time in the Rite of Lyon, in which the priest after the consecration would just hold the Eucharist as he would be saying his prayers, he would pause in silence and he'd ask the Father in the name of Jesus, who he was holding in his hand, to grant the favor that had been requested of him. This is the reality of who we are together with him, by that miracle of his calling us. Today in the first reading, we see the response to what we've heard these last 2 days. St. Paul's preaching in the synagogue of Antioch in Pisidia. You remember there were various phases to that. Talked about their aspirations. Then portrayed Jesus as the fulfillment of all those hopes. Then that Jesus himself was crucified by those who refused to accept him as the fulfillment of those hopes. But then God raised him from the dead and wanted that message brought, that salvation brought to everyone. And then everyone, including the listeners there in Antioch and Pisidia, would have a choice to make, whether they were going to embrace Paul and Barnabas, united with Jesus, united with the Father, or reject. Today we see what occurred. On the following Saturday, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of God. The Gentiles had received it in droves. St. Paul was describing what Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah had all prophesied, that the salvation would go to the ends of the earth, as we were talking about in the psalm. And they were so happy that they were going to be included, so all the Gentiles show up at the synagogue. The Jews were always happy to have a few God-fearers there. A couple Gentiles who recognized that the Jews had something that nobody else had. They had this special relationship with the one God who had given them his law, so that they could, in fact, order their life in a way that they would know would be pleasing to the Lord. They had those two gifts, and when a couple of the God-fearers came, those who accepted that word is true, but who weren't circumcised, they were fine. But they didn't want the whole city present to water down, we could say, what the Jews themselves were believing and practicing. And so it says that when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy, and with violent abuse contradicted what Paul had said, especially about salvation going to the Gentiles. And so then Paul took that in concert with what Jesus had already said, that if they reject in one place, wipe the dust and go to another. It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, but since you reject it, we now turn to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles were delighted when they heard this and glorified the word of God. There's always that choice. The word of God is constantly being actualized. The Lord Jesus comes to his own, but many of his own do not accept him. But to those who accept him, as we hear in the prologue of St. John, he gives power to become sons of God through entering into communion with the Father, through communion with the Son, through communion with the Church. All of these lessons are being played out today in a beatification happening in Madrid. Not that many in the United States will know about it, but it's quite significant to those of us who follow the Spirit of Opus Dei, because she's the third to be beatified in the work. First is obviously Saint Jose Maria, second is Blessed Don Alvaro, his successor. But today in Madrid, Guadalupe Ortiz will be beatified. She shows, in a sense, how to live in communion with God and have that zeal to bring the salvation to the ends of the earth. And in the miracles that led to her beatification, she likewise shows that not only prayers she was making during her lifetime, but prayers people ask her to make as she entered into life with the Lord are greater. She was born in 1916. Her father was executed in the Spanish Civil War. She was with him right before he was taken before the firing squad, after he was dead. She went on to become a chemist and was a superb chemist, trying to offer that work to God unmarried. Eventually in 1944, through a friend, she met Saint Jose Maria, thought that there was something special about his message, that lay people too could become saints in the midst of their ordinary activities by bringing God into every honest aspect of human life. So she did. And in addition to her chemical work, she started to run some houses for young women studying at university. St. Jose Maria was really impressed with her, and the work had not yet started. Or the work had started for men in Mexico, but they needed to start to work among the women. So he came to her, a chemist, said, "Would you be willing to go to Mexico to start these activities among women?" And she did in 1950, a couple of years after the work had come to the U.S. And there for 6 years, she built up the work and brought many to experience Christ and salvation in their ordinary lives. 1956, St. Jose Maria asked her to come to Rome to help run the women's work all throughout the globe. But when she got there, she basically was diagnosed with serious heart problems. She had to go back to Madrid. They thought she'd be resting, but she couldn't stay idle. So she said, "Well, when I can't work, why don't I just get my doctorate in chemistry?" So she got her doctorate in chemistry, and she won the dissertation prize. And then she worked in that teaching and running these women's residences until she died 2 weeks after St. Jose Maria in 1975. The miracle leading to her beatification happened in 2011. This man with melanoma right next to his eyes, scheduled for surgery in a couple days that he didn't want because of the risk to his eyes and just all the vanity that would come from having patches and everything else on your eye for several days, took a prayer card of hers with him to bed and just asked her help. He woke up the following day and the melanoma was totally gone. What do we learn from her life? We learn, first, communion with God throughout all our ordinary activities. Second, to be willing to be sent anywhere, however inconvenient, in order to share the faith. And third, the real power of prayer, because God still works abundant miracles. Wouldn't it be something if we prayed in such a way on earth that others would pray through our intercession after we're gone? But this is what God ultimately wants for each of us. Today, as we behold the Lamb of God, let us see the Father in him and the Father's full love. And let us, together with this prayer, offer up our needs and the deepest intentions that we bring to Mass.